The last thing you would expect from someone who's going through a tragedy is for them to personally take time to care for the people around them. Most people going through difficulty or pain are so consumed with their own circumstances that they're barely aware of what's going on around them. But Jesus spent the week leading up to what he knew would be his suffering and death, caring for the people around him. He spent every day in the temple courts teaching and helping people to find truth in the last days that he had on the earth with them. He spent the last night before he went to the cross making sure that his disciples were prepared for all the things that would come in the days ahead. In fact, he even washed the feet of the one who would betray him. It is shocking to realize that even as Jesus was being crucified, even as he was hanging on the cross, his attention was not just on his pain, his attention was not just on himself. If anyone ever had the right to be focused on themselves, it's when they're experiencing such a horrific death. But Jesus, as he hung on the cross, was concerned for others. He knew that he was on the cross for others, and he never lost that focus. Father, forgive them. After being severely whipped and severely mocked by Roman soldiers, Jesus' body was horribly injured and traumatized. He was forced to carry his cross to the place of his execution. But he fell under the weight of the cross, and the soldiers pressed a random guy into carrying the cross, Simon of Cyrene, carrying the cross for Jesus. When they arrived at the site outside the city gates, the soldiers did what soldiers do when they're crucifying. They pierced Jesus' hands and feet with spikes. And as they inflicted great pain on him, Jesus thought about them. Can you imagine? The very ones who were harming him, they were perpetrating the greatest evil in human history. They were killing their creator. And they had no idea. And Jesus didn't want them to be held accountable for doing their job since they had no understanding of the implications of what they were doing. And so Luke 23:34 says, Jesus called out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Can you imagine forgiving such evil while it's happening? Right? Those Roman soldiers swung the hammers. But the reality, ladies and gentlemen, folks, today, the Roman soldiers swung the hammers, but it was your sin and my sin that nailed him to the cross. But the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet the ones who nailed Jesus to the cross, he died for us. And in answer to Jesus' prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." In answer to Jesus' prayer, the soldiers got a front row seat to the greatest act of love in history. And Matthew and Mark record that when The centurion who was overseeing the crucifixion saw the darkness and the earthquake that coincided with Jesus' death. He spoke out and said, "Surely this was the Son of God." Wow. A repentant sinner. As Jesus hung on the cross, he was mocked by passersby. He was mocked by religious leaders. He was mocked by Roman soldiers. Jesus had been crucified with two terrorists who had been caught perpetrating violence against the Roman army. One of them joined in the mocking. He was bitter about his life and how it was ending. But the other criminal was remorseful. Maybe he'd heard Jesus teach before. Many thousands of people had. Maybe he was just in awe of everything that he saw playing out that day. I don't know, but somehow the man being crucified next to Jesus had a better understanding of what was happening, it seems, than even Jesus' own disciples did. And he turned to Jesus. He spoke to the other mocking criminal and said, "Don't you know who this is? We deserve what we are getting, but this man does not." He turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What a bold request, right? But what does he have to lose? He goes for it, right? Hoping that Jesus would be a more gracious ruler than the Roman governor had been. Jesus' heart is turned toward this repentant man, and he says to him, "Truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Folks, Jesus is always ready to hear a repentant cry for help. Jesus is always listening for those who know that they need a Savior and call out to Him. Care for the lonely. John 19, verse 26 and 27 says, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom Jesus loved," isn't it great that John thought that lowly of himself, right? "Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom Jesus loved nearby. He said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on," it says, "this disciple took her into his home." What a tender moment of Jesus looking after his mother to make sure she's taken care of as he's dying on the cross. God has a special place in his heart for those who are lonely. Scripture says in Psalm 68, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in sun-scorched land." Mary had lost her husband years ago. And now the words of the prophet Simeon, who had held the baby Jesus in his arms, are coming true. "A sword shall pierce your soul also." And so Jesus creates an instant family to make sure that his mother is cared for. Folks, many of you in this room, many of you watching online, have experienced deep loneliness. Maybe you've lost a spouse, or you've left behind friends when you moved across the country, or your friends have begun to pass away. Know that Jesus cares for your loneliness today. It matters to him, and he wants to help you find comfort and peace. It's part of his saving work from the cross. Amen? It is finished. John tells us in his gospel that just before Jesus died, he said three important words: "It is finished." In Greek, it's only one word, tetelestai. This word was a really significant word in the Greco-Roman world. In the financial realm, tetelestai, it is finished, meant that the outstanding account, the debt, had been paid in full. It is finished, tetelestai. In the legal realm, it meant that your payment of justice had been fully served. It is finished, tetelestai. Nothing left to punish. And in the military realm, it meant that a battle had been completely won. The enemy had been crushed, and the victory was complete, tetelestai. It is finished. That means when Jesus called out from the cross, tetelestai, it is finished, he was saying, folks, your debt of sin has been completely paid. Your legal guilt before God has been completely atoned for. And the victory that you need has been completely won. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Jesus was on the cross thinking about you. Thinking about those around him. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, you are the joy that was set before him that enabled him to endure the cross. His mind was on you. You were the reason he stayed there when the crowds taunted him and said, he saved others, let him save himself if he's the Messiah. And yet he stayed on the cross. As Jesus had said in the garden when the temple soldiers arrived to arrest him and said, do you not think I could call on my Father and he would put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But this is how it must happen. 12 legions of angels is 36,000 angels available to Jesus in a moment, and yet he endured the cross because you were on his mind. He stayed on the cross for you. And Jesus, our Savior, is a worthy Savior. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for your amazing love that entered into our world, that loved us right to the cross, that we were on your heart and on your mind as Jesus, you hung there on that cross. That you stayed there to the bitter end and died for us. Thank you. We are so grateful for your love and your mercy. God, I pray if there's anyone hearing this message today in this room or watching online who does not know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that today the veil would come off of their heart and off of their eyes, and that they would see you for who you are. The one who loved us to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to invite my brother, Aaron, Pastor Aaron from Bathurst Christian Fellowship, to come on up. And he's going to get ready to officiate communion for us. Those who are serving, if you could get ready to do that. Yeah, if you want to just come here. And those who are serving, come on down. Fantastic. So today, for our gang, communion's just going to be a little bit different in that it's the first day we're going back to serving bread tray and juice tray for a couple of years. So yeah, that'll be a little different, but we're gonna celebrate together. This is a vital moment. I love Good Friday communion because it's an important way to celebrate that Jesus went to the cross for us. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you to worship with us, with the team, as you receive the elements and just hold on to them, and then Pastor Aaron will lead us in celebrating communion together.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and treasures of the earth, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. You were crucified, laid behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall, and you thought of me. Crucified, lay behind the stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the
Start with Matthew 26:26. While they're eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he even gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, eat it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he given it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, and my covenant, in which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of my sins." I just want to briefly speak on that, just the forgiveness of our sins and how important, you know, it's, we sometimes get into a routine of the, and we forget how important the blood and the bread is. It's just we take juice, we eat bread, but do we really, really focus on how what he did for us in what this really represents. So I was sitting there worshiping, and the Lord put a song on my heart. I'm not going to sing, because you can even ask my wife, I cannot sing. But I will read this to you. It's by Chris Tomlin. It's an older song, but there's something that really stood out to me in my heart. Was it's called The Blood Ran Red. At the cross, love ran red. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you where your love ran red and my sins washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where my sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace in God and forgiveness, where all love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you where your love ran red, and I owe all to you. You know, this is what this really represents, is what Jesus did for us. You know, this is what today is about. But even just communion, remembering every time we take communion, you know, what he did for us, and how we are, our sins are washed clean because of him, because of that love that ran, that blood that ran red, that blood that he was that perfect lamb sacrificed on the cross for our sins. So as we take this cup, we just pray, Father, that we just remember your blood. Father, as we take your communion, remember the blood that you've done for us. And Father, we just even ask for your forgiveness, Father, for our sins, Father. Father, for you have forgiven us, Father. You loved us so much. Father, this cup is not just juice, but it's your blood. It's your blood that has cleansed us, that has given us an opportunity for eternal life. Father, eternal life that we soon be able to see you in heaven. Father, and we thank you for this cup, this juice, Father. In your name we pray. And Lord, we take the bread and we just remember the pain and the suffering, Father, that you went through. Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful service today, this beautiful day to remember who you are and what you did for us, what you continue to do for us, Father. That one day we get to see you in paradise. We get to see you with open arms saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Well, would you stand with us? We're going to sing one more song.
thank you for the price you paid.
Price that you paid, bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Powerful. Amen. Well, what a beautiful morning it's been. I want to invite Pastor Aaron's wife Maria to come, and she's going to close our time together with prayer.
God bless you, everybody. What an honor and a pleasure to be in the house of the Lord with all my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been a beautiful day to remember what a price our Lord and Savior paid for us. Sometimes we don't notice the importances of that price, and sometimes we put our sins higher than that beautiful sacrifice. They paid it all so we can be free. So let's just close and pray. Just give thanks to the Lord for this beautiful sacrifice. He could quit. He could say no. He could just let us die because we are so ungrateful. But in his goodness and his mercy, he went to the end. He paid the price. He did everything to see us face to face and say, welcome home, my daughter. Welcome home, my son. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your price. Thank you, Father, because of your price in the cross, we are here. Thank you, God, because of the price in the cross, Father. In your resurrection, Lord, we have life. We have eternal life. And what a pleasure is to know that one day we will see you face to face. Oh, Abba, Father. What amazing, oh, and glorious day will be, Father, to know that thanks to that price, we will see our Creator. We will see our Father. And we will sit next to Him and just worship. Worship and love you for the eternity, Father. So we close in prayer, Lord. Father, just taking this home with us in our heart. Remember, God, that you are the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. Lord, and we are closing in this day. Father, going home, remember the price that you did, Father, and bringing the good news to those ones that are outside, letting them know that you are the one that is to come and the one that paid the price so we can be free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Father, I send every single one of my brothers and sisters in this day. Father, in safety, they will return to their places by your grace and mercy. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.